Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Happy to have you this Saturday. Boy, what an eventful week, as if we have any other kind these days. And before we get to some of the events this week, and we also have guests coming up, not in this segment, though. I do want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing the show to talk to you about all the events going on in the various weeks that we address. And we also want to thank them in particular because, well, sometimes their clients disagree with the content of the program. Sometimes even the management disagrees, but you know what? They let us talk anyway, and we appreciate that. Also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show can be found at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. You can hear the show on there. You can hear the show on other platforms, too. But that's your most reliable source because we also post older episodes up there as well. And you can find out also there more about the show and also about the Al and Nathan Show. Got to mention them because, well, they're the ones who are on six times a week versus us being on once a week. So they're at AlanNathan.com, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, Twitter at AlanNathan. But as far as the Main Street Radio Network goes, they are also on social media, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, on Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, and on Twitter at Main Street Radio. So you can find out, find postings about this show, find postings from Silk, the Silk in the Silk or Joe Show title, Jane Silk, and also find posts from Alan Nathan, and once in a blue moon from me. But we are also, Silk or Joe Show has a social media page on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, where you will find updates about the show if I remember to post them. I got about a 90% rate going for that one. And you can also find updates about if one of us is guest hosting the Al and Nathan Show. All right. So with all that out of the way, let's get into the subjects for the day here. Alan normally has them pre-written when I guest host for the Al Nathan Show, or actually when he hosts the Al Nathan Show, and then I have them pre-written for guest hosting. I don't have them pre-written here, though, because I never do that for this show. No one ever does that. We don't post the topics of this show on social media, except on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. So, I want to be talking about the GOP candidates, the lovely field of candidates that they have, amber waves of candidates going on out there, right? They all suck. I was leaning towards some of them, but then you find out things about their background, and it's like, okay, well, this could be an issue. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy, for example, I kind of liked him, but there's a slight problem with his Soros funding. Yes, he does have a history with George Soros, the guy who is, you know, paying off all these district attorneys to let cities become high-crime, anti-safety zones. And apparently Ramaswamy, he, even though he had a huge chunk of cash when he went to college or law school, one of those two, Soros actually ended up paying for him instead. So that's a little suspicious right there. And then suddenly this guy comes out of the blue and he's saying all the right things, but he's got the Soros background. And Soros's tendrils also extend into Ron DeSantis's campaign as well. And Ron DeSantis, actually earlier this week, especially if you listened to Monday's Al and Nathan Show, you would have heard him talking about this. He had his own little moment. If we could have clip 13, please, talking about that.
So you could be the most conservative person since sliced bread. Unless you're kissing his rear end, they will somehow call you a rhino. So it's been totally detached from principle and what you actually believe and results, and it's more about, you know, just what faction you happen to do. So there'll be people who are huge Trump supporters, like in Congress, who have like incredibly liberal left-wing records that's really just atrocious, and yet they're viewed as by some of these folks as like really, really good. Then you have other people, you know, like a Congressman Chip Roy, who's endorsed me. These guys have records of principle fighting the swamp that are second to none, and yet they will be attacked by some of these people and called rhinos. So it's just been totally detached from any type of substance. And ultimately, a movement can't be about the personality of one individual. Because if you're not rooted in principle, if all we are is listless vessels that's just supposed to follow, you know, whatever happens to come down the pike on Truth Social every morning, that's not going to be a durable movement.
All right. So that was Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, presidential candidate. he is chatting away about he's chatting away on the Florida Standard, by the way, newspaper outlet, on August 18th, you know, about why the Trump movement isn't particularly durable and all that. And, you know, the part in there was where he says listless vessels to describe, I guess, people who put Trump over substance, who back Trump no matter what, who, you know, if Trump actually, if there was hard evidence that the election was not stolen, if there's hard evidence and Trump is guilty of everything convicted of, these supporters would still back him. Now, of course, there isn't. That's a different story. But his point, though, is that they've got bought into a cult of personality. And, you know, there are people out there like that. So it doesn't seem entirely like a jab at a majority of Republican voters or Trump supporters. It makes it clear it's about a specific subset. Now, he could almost have gotten away with those statements when the backlash hit, when people started characterizing it as an attack on all Trump supporters, by merely reiterating his point. Now, granted, in his mind, it might have been an attack on all Trump supporters, but he couched his words very carefully so it didn't come off that way, so I'll give him credit for that. He could have gotten away, though, by just merely reiterating his point that the party should be principles over a cult, though there is a red flag with his defense of Chip Roy, I might add. He is, he seems to be more of a deep stater than anything else. And also, he seems to be buying into the right, well, actually, Chip Roy did, bought into the FBI's Reichstag fire false flag moment with January 6th. So he's definitely not a person I'd cite as a true conservative. But, you know, maybe Ron's just an idiot and showing he will make the same poor hiring choices that Trump did with Christopher Wray and General Mark Millicent Milley. But then DeSantis's campaign responded to the backlash. And I think that's where the real issue came. Could we have clip 14, please, where you hear a Fox News host reading off the campaign's response?
Those comments ignited a firestorm on social media, to which the DeSantis press secretary responded saying this, quote, "The dishonest media refuses to report the facts. Donald Trump and some congressional endorsers are listless vessels. Why? Because Trump and D.C. insiders feel he is entitled to your vote. Ron DeSantis believes your trust should be earned and has the vision, plan, and record to beat Joe Biden and reverse the decline of our country. That's why Ron DeSantis will be showing up on Wednesday night to debate, and Donald Trump will not."
I thought that the campaigns were supposed to fix it when candidates step in it, not bury them in it. But apparently the Ron DeSantis' people didn't quite get the memo on that. So what you just heard, again, it was Fox News' Lawrence Jones on August 20th reading the DeSantis campaign's printed response to criticism over his listless vessels remark, and the campaign makes it clear that it's about all Trump supporters. Not only that, but the campaign says that that DC insiders and all them, they're the ones who are supporting Trump, and Trump is a DC insider too. So let me get this right. Ron DeSantis cites the support of a deep state operative like Chip Roy, and he gets backing from DC insiders, mind you. He's got the Soros money coming in too, by the way. But then it's Trump who is being obliterated by DC insiders, and somehow that means that Trump is a DC insider that you are that the DC insiders want you to vote for. I'm not sure how that made sense to anybody in the campaign, but great job, folks. Now, don't be fooled by it. Ron's campaign is a swamp creature at this point, apparently. So, you know, I bet Ron DeSantis really defines listless vessels as anyone who still supports Trump over the deep state's fake indictments. And, you know, it's interesting that he would talk about saying that the party has to be about principle, but here he is with his campaign defining people with broad strokes. It's crazy. Now, as for Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, another candidate who was on that stage, well, let's just, I'm not sure if we have time for both clips, but Asa Hutchinson basically said the 14th Amendment applied to Donald Trump. Let's have clip 16 to hear why it does.
Governor Hutchinson, you did not raise your hand.
I did not raise my hand because there's an important issue we as a party have to face. And over a year ago, I said that Donald Trump was morally disqualified from being president again as a result of what happened on January 6th. more people are understanding the importance of that, including conservative legal scholars who says he may be disqualified under the 14th Amendment from being president again as a result of the insurrection. This is something that could disqualify him under our rules and under the Constitution. And so, obviously, I'm not going to support somebody who's been convicted of a serious felony or who has is disqualified under our Constitution, and that's consistent with RNC rules.
All right. So I would have played the rebuttal from Jonathan Turley, Georgetown law professor, but alas, I just have to summarize it because we're just about out of time for the segment. So basically, he is totally wrong because 14th Amendment only applies to insurrection, and Donald Trump has not been charged with insurrection. No matter what you hear about the indictments, none of them are for insurrection or inciting or one or anything like that. It's all conspiracies to challenge the election, but no one has called him an insurrectionist or said he tried to really overthrow the government or anything like that. More so just after this break.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Come get back to school ready with me and the brands I've partnered with. ThredUp is a one-stop shop where you can clean out your closet and buy affordable, sustainable secondhand clothing. Go to ThredUp.com/cleanout, order their signature polka dot bag or print a shipping label, and send ThredUp your gently worn items. They'll do all the work to resell your items. Target has all the national brands that you are looking for, and with deals starting at just $1, Target has all the back-to-school and back-to-college essentials you'll need. From T-Mobile, pick up a free 5G smartphone like the exclusive Rebel 6 Pro 5G or the award-winning Sync Up Kids Watch for free. Fairlife ultra-filtered milk is a great-tasting source of nutrition for families like mine. With 50% more protein and 50% less sugar than regular milk, Fairlife's 14-ounce bottles offer great-tasting, nutrition-rich products made to enjoy on the go. For more information on these brands, visit their websites.
Last year, we moved into a new apartment, and it was a new build, and so this was about July timeframe. A couple months later, our apartment came to us, our management, and said, hey, we're going to offer up the chance for the residents to short-term rent their apartments on Airbnb. So it's something that I've always actually dreamt about doing one day. I never owned, but you know, I've always kind of been a renter. And so this was a great opportunity for me to jump on that. The program is partnered with over 250 apartments across the nation to pretty much set up terms to allow their residents to Airbnb their place. So if you go to airbnb.com/airbnb-friendly, you can search by your city and find all the apartments that have partnered up with Airbnb and go from there. That website is airbnb.com/airbnb-friendly. Just go there again. Search by your city and you can see what opportunities are out there.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single, boys. Never mind.
How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silkworm Joe Show, everybody. So, any of you are like me or my mother, you have an Amazon Prime membership, and largely you're doing it for the free shipping. Federal Trade Commission has other ideas about it. They are working out a scheme right now that would stop Amazon's free shipping or from being really worth what it's worth, because instead of getting stuff overnight, they're looking to disrupt Amazon's supply chain, or distribution chain, I should say. Joining us now to talk about this, we have Robert H. Bork Jr. He is president of the Antitrust Education Project. He leads the Bork Group, a virtual crisis, litigation, and public affairs agency that Amazon probably will need if the FTC gets its way. And he was also a journalist and a special assistant for U.S. Trade Representative Carla Hills. And he recently reissued his father's book, The Antitrust Paradox, A Policy at War with Itself. Robert H. Bork Jr., happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm great. You can call me Bob. The other one's way too long.
All right, Bob. Thank you for that. What do you make of what the FTC is trying to do with Amazon here? What's going on?
Well, Amazon is the chair of the FTC, Lina Khan. It's her white whale. She's been harping and complaining about Amazon since she was in law school at Yale. And she even wrote an article about it called The Amazon Paradox, sort of playing off my father's book. And her view is that, first of all, she doesn't like anything big. She's against bigness. She thinks bigness is tantamount to monopoly. And Amazon, whether you like it or not, is not a monopoly. And so what she wants to do is bust up Amazon by making she's already filed three lawsuits against Amazon for other things. And this big one, which is probably going to happen right after Labor Day, would essentially break Prime, break their Prime service, would force Amazon to allow sellers, for example, to use any logistics provider for Prime, which would make deliveries slower and unreliable. It would allow, if they win this lawsuit, it would allow force Amazon to break Prime's benefits of shipping and music and video into separate services, basically lowering the value proposition for customers. This one I just find stunning. It would force Amazon to show prices from other sellers that are higher than what consumers would pay elsewhere in stores like Walmart. So, in other words, it's doing everything it can to kneecap Amazon, to basically virtually break up the company by breaking up this important service that people like. And, you know, by the way, Amazon is more popular than any other institution in this country other than the military. In polling results. So people like Amazon. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think if they had a legitimate case to bring an anti-competitive case, that they should do it. But they just don't. What their beef is with Amazon is that it's big, that it's innovative, that it creates jobs, that it basically helps the consumer. This FTC is against this thing called the Consumer Welfare Standard, which has been the sort of operating system for antitrust or competition law enforcement for the last 45 years, and which has led to incredible growth in our economy. But they don't like that, because that means the government doesn't have its hands around the neck of business and is not limiting capitalism.
Hmm. Yeah, I was about to ask why the FTC would be going after this consumer welfare thing, because, well, aren't the consumers the ones who voted for them? And gee whiz, Jeff Bezos, the guy behind Amazon, isn't he one of the ones who helped put this particular FTC regime into power? So it really seems like they're trying to bite the hand that feeds them.
Yeah. Well, look, Jeff Bezos is an entrepreneur, was an entrepreneur, who came up with this incredible thing that took advantage of the power of the internet and it's a great development. And of course, many other companies do it too. So there's a lot of competition out there. But the FTC, and you know, the chair of the FTC, Lina Khan, has basically had a burr in her saddle over Amazon for years, and this, it's really what she rode to power. You know, she wrote an article when she was in law school that brought her to the attention of the policy community, the left-wing policy community, and it's what brought her to the attention of Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, and got her nominated to be on the FTC as a commissioner. And once she got confirmed as a commissioner, Biden made her chair, which actually shocked everybody who voted for her because they didn't realize that was what his plan was. And as chair, she has led the FTC in 2 years of decline. It used to be one of the most highly regarded agencies in the federal government, very high scores among staff for integrity of the leadership and for management practices. And it went to the bottom. It's like next to the bottom of the list now in these annual surveys that they do. She has forced people out of the Federal Trade Commission. Senior staff, career staff have left. And she's brought in a bunch of young, sometimes unpaid consultants who come from think tanks that are left-wing or even... this is not me talking. This is another commissioner who recently resigned said that Lina Khan is a Marxist. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. But whether she's a Marxist or a socialist, whatever she is, she doesn't like capitalism. She doesn't like big business, and she thinks that it ought to be restrained. And so she's been bringing lots and lots of lawsuits against corporations and threatening others with investigations and lawsuits, and the ones that she's brought, she's largely lost in court. But that doesn't mean she's not having a real damping effect on the economy at a time when we really don't need this, you know. So you can hear from the tone of my voice that I'm very concerned about what she and the Justice Department are doing in antitrust, and this whole administration. It's just really an assault on what creates jobs and innovation in this country, and that is business.
Now, well, what can we, the consumers out here, do? Because, and the voters too, because the FTC, you know, they're blowing all of our taxpayer money on these fruitless lawsuits. You know, even if they were victories, they would still end up hurting us anyway. So it's like we have this group that's spending our money against our interests almost.
Yeah, well, what you can do is pay attention to what's going on. You can, you know, be supportive of lawmakers who are pushing back against this. And ultimately, look, the Antitrust Education Project is a 501c3. We are a nonpartisan, entity, and so we don't tell people what to do. We don't lobby for legislation. But you know, I guess, generally speaking, I would say make your voices heard and look for people who agree with the consumer, you know, putting the consumer at the center of our policy and our competition law or antitrust law. Because the consumer, you know, votes with his or her dollars. That's how you do it.
All right, Robert Page Ford Jr., appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. And could you give us a website for your organization?
Very easy, antitrusteducationproject.org. We're on Twitter at antitrustedu.
All right, listeners, you can go check them out. We're coming to a break, but more Silker Joe Show coming up soon.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, Reflumilas cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So, if you watch the Republican presidential debate, or, well, I guess primary debate, really, they're not candidates yet, you might have noticed how candidates were asked some interesting questions that were sort of leaning towards the left. It was rather peculiar there. They were asked about their views. They actually, it seemed that the moderators were trying to push the candidates to sort of back leftist views on climate change and abortion and gun control as well. So I guess the candidates were too busy yelping at each other to realize that the Fox News anchors were, you know, trying to jab them a little to the left there. And I guess it's a good thing Trump stayed away from that that big hot mess, because, well, they would have been trying to push their leftism on him, and boy, that would have sucked, wouldn't it? It would have been an even bigger argue fest than it was already. Because they did yell at each other a lot. The moderators had little control over the candidates or the audience, it seemed. So, you know, good luck to them, I guess, in the future on that one. And it really shows the trend that the network has taken towards the left, especially with some of those questions there that I just mentioned. Now then, I do have other matters I need to address here, such as what's going on with the Maui wildfires and all that. So, now there are people out there talking about directed energy weapons being used on Maui and all that. That was kind of, seems kind of bonkers, but I did have an interesting encounter, though, when trying to research some of that. So, you know, they had this meme going around that the celebrities, they painted their houses blue or whatever, and that blue umbrellas were found standing on a beach that had otherwise been glassed by the fire. And the idea was that the energy weapons could be somehow targeted to where, you know, if they encounter the anything in the blue color spectrum, they don't attack, but then any other color they do attack. And that explains why celebrity houses were unburnt and all that. I'm not saying that's impossible. In fact, we've had directed energy weapons for over 20 years now. In fact, well, it was probably ABC News back in 2003 did a nice report on, I believe it was in Afghanistan. No, it was 2002. They did a report on how in Afghanistan we were employing directed energy weapons to shoot down mortar shells coming in. So if the news is reporting that in 2002 that we are using directed energy weapons on the battlefield, you know we had them a little bit longer than that. The government doesn't really release its secrets so quickly. So definitely in 21 years we could have seen a bit of an evolution on that technology. So that part's not impossible. And, you know, neither is the idea about blue, a very obvious blue color, being impossible either. Trouble is, though, I don't think it actually happened. You know, I looked at pictures of the celebrities' homes. They're not blue, as the thing describes. But I did run into an interesting issue trying to Google this. It seemed that there was some censorship going on with that. See, what I did was, there's this picture going around saying this article, it really looks like a genuine article headline, by the way, asking, quote, "Why the heck are celebs all painting their Maui properties the same weird shade of blue," unquote. And, you know, you can't believe everything you see on the internet, of course, but a lot of times you see, like, headlines like that. It looks like it's a screenshot of an actual headline, but it isn't. And so I tried to figure out, well, is this true or not? So, you know, this is kind of a message to all of you out there. You see something like this, you maybe friend posts on Facebook or whatever, you got to do a little digging to make sure it's actually accurate. So I tried to do a little digging on this one. You know, I put it in, you know, the best way to do that in this case, I figured, was to put the whole thing in quotes. That way it takes you right to the article when you put it into the search engine, right? Well, it didn't. When you put it into Google, you know, it comes up with all just the results debunking it or whatever. Okay, I don't want those. This article in the screenshot has a date on it, October of last year. Okay, so what you do is you go into Google's feature where you can limit the search results by date. So you can actually cancel out search results coming after a certain date. Again, a very useful research tool, especially if you want to, say, find a politician commenting on an issue that you know they reversed their position recently, so you want to find the first thing they said, right? So you just use this tool on Google's search engine. Well, it didn't work for this search. It actually glitched out completely when trying to do it, and it was only this search. I tried different ones. So it looked like Google was trying to suppress search results of this from the past, and they just wanted you to see the current results. So I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just a screw-up on their part. You know, glitches happen. So I'll try Bing, another search engine. Well, out of the several searches I tried on Bing, this was the only one that didn't even allow you to set the date to anything that would exclude disinformation articles. So then I tried it again on another web search engine, DuckDuckGo. They actually had no results. So, you know, that's 2 points in favor of censorship and 1 in favor of coincidence. Rather peculiar, that. But again, like I said, the science is there that this is, you know, technically possible. Whether it actually happened that directed energy weapons were used, I don't believe so, because like I said, I didn't see any pictures of blue celebrity houses aside from a picture that wasn't really of a celebrity's house. Now then, as to other issues, though, that are definitely point to something screwy going on over in Maui, you have satellite images of Maui, the fire that were taken down at the request of responding organizations in Hawaii, allegedly. However, it's interesting they would do that because, you might recall, I've mentioned the Canadian wildfires before, how satellite images show 17 different fires starting at the exact same time. So is that why they took the Maui images down? Because they show that this was arson? We don't know. And now you also have how Maui's drone pilot in Maui saying government officials shut down their drone during a flight over where the fire supposedly started. Again, another interesting coincidence, another interesting bit of censorship there. So why are they trying to censor images of the fire that were taken by satellites that could have shown that it was started deliberately? Why did they stop this drone pilot from doing a private investigation, sort of? Because, you know, you can fly your drones over certain areas, I guess, but they didn't want him looking at this area. A drone wouldn't disturb the crime scene if there was one. But speaking of crime scenes, let's talk about the person in Maui on the ground who might have been in charge of investigating such things. Their local police chief, I mentioned before. He's an operative for the government if they want to cover something up. He's proven that with the Vegas mass shooting, where nothing was investigated. So you have, let's see, you have this attempt to cover up any attempts to figure out how the fire started by civilians. It's by looking at satellite images, by flying drones, nothing invasive, nothing that could actually corrupt the crime scene, nothing that involves, you know, harassing government officials for an answer or whatever, just independent investigations that are totally non-invasive. And that is stopped. Government censors any information. Not only that, but you have FEMA being extremely slow to respond. And eventually, you know, residents on the ground actually said that they didn't see anyone from the Biden administration there. They didn't see any FEMA representatives for a while. And when they finally do respond, it seems like more like a vacation to them. They get free stays at $1,000 a room hotels. Meanwhile, the Biden administration only is giving $700 apiece to the residents who were lost their homes to the fire. Just $700. They don't even get to stay one night at the hotels that the FEMA helpers are staying at with that kind of cash that they were given. Meanwhile, at the same time, we gave more to Ukraine than our own countrymen. So, and also Biden, he seemed pretty happy about the fires too. When he was questioned about them, he gave a nice little smirk. And then while watching a memorial service for the wildfires, it looked like he's checking those watch impatiently or falling asleep or something. So he didn't really seem to be caring about that. In fact, he seemed to be in the know about it from his initial reaction. You know, that he's just so senile, he had no idea what they were talking about and just smiled at them. Anyway, and then you also have government officials didn't sound the alarm for the fire. They didn't sound the alarm system that the state had installed. They didn't allow water for firefighting for at least 5 hours. Not only that, but they blocked residents from escaping. In fact, there was a report that came out, according to Gateway Pundit, that the people who disobeyed the road barricades actually survived. The ones who obeyed the road barricades, they died in the fire. So everything that the local government did against the wildfire ended up killing citizens, blocking them in, telling them to shelter in place, barricading their escape route. And then on top of that, no alarm sounded and not allowing enough water to fight the fire. It really looks like they wanted this place to burn and they wanted people to burn with it. And then on top of that, $700 per person and that's all the aid that they get, aside from whatever other vague FEMA response eventually came about. And then you have the government immediately acting to buy the land, as if they had a plan all along to do so. Not only that, but they want to stop residents from selling their property to real estate developers that the government doesn't approve of. They really want that land. Everything they're doing makes it look suspicious, like the government actually planned this. More Silker Dish after this break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
Together with One Knoxville SC, PetSafe is thrilled to collaborate and create fields of joy for players, pets, and families in the selection of the pro soccer team's inaugural official mascot. To make this experience truly extraordinary, PetSafe has partnered with Young Williams, one of the largest animal shelters in the country, to create their Unleash the Mascot program. This program will profile rescue dogs and allow fans to vote for their favorites. As we search for forever homes for all six dogs, one lucky pup will be chosen by fans to become the team's official mascot and will be placed in a loving forever home with a One Knox team member. Starting on July 18th, fans can actively participate in the mascot voting process by visiting at PetSafe Instagram channel to cast their vote before July 21st at noon Eastern Standard Time. With this program, PetSafe is also challenging other teams across the United States to transform their fields into spaces of joy by hosting pet adoptions and events that unleash joy for pets and their families. Sponsored by PetSafe.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. We are joining our last segment right now, last 9 minutes here with you all this lovely Saturday afternoon. So we're shifting topics now from potential wars of the government against citizens to the culture wars against the citizens with that new Barbie movie, which was actually quite successful in the box office, I guess because they didn't campaign on wokeness, they just campaigned on product placement. But when you watch the movie, it comes off as a feminist manifesto, and that is modern feminism, by the way, because feminism shifted from legitimate grievances in the 70s to hating men for the sake of hating men, and you're a traitor to the cause if you don't, in today's parlance. So joining us now to talk about what messages the Barbie movie had, we have Monica Yates, trauma healer, feminine/masculine embodiment coach, and a period whisperer for women. Gotta specify that these days, which is horrifying. And she is also host of the popular Feminine As, well, it's the F word pop, and it's a podcast. And if I had actually said the full title on this show would end up being a podcast. So Monica Yates, appreciate being on Silker Joe Show. How are you today?
Thanks for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I am doing all right. Thank you. So tell us about these messages that we might not have missed because of the advertising to the Barbie movie.
Yeah, the advertising was incredible. They did a great job with the marketing. It was a shame that when you went into the theater, you were kind of delivered with something completely different. I like to just say that I was catfished. You know, if we were going in to watch a typical Barbie movie based on the usual Barbie story, I would probably be okay with it. But the reality is that for many of us, we felt like these political agendas or whatever you want to call it, was just hitting us in the face the whole time. And it was somewhat unbearable in some of the scenes. You know, there was this, you know, the overarching kind of theme that I noticed was that men are kind of a pain. Like, they're not really doing anything. They were more of a burden than they were of a help, which is a real shame, because the reality is that if you actually understand men and masculinity, men want to help, right? They're actually here to protect, to provide, to make a woman's life easier. And there were so many different themes throughout the movie. But for me, what was the real issue is, you know, as an adult, you could walk in and maybe brush off a lot of the satire and just realize, like, okay, whatever. But as a child, you know, you've got these young girls and young boys going in thinking that they're just watching a fun Barbie movie, and they are being, you know, somewhat brainwashed, because that's what TV does. That's the reality of it, you know, brainwashed with these really harmful messages around, you know, it's not really safe to be a woman. Women get less. We have to fight all the time, which isn't the truth for majority of Western societies. Women have equal rights. And when you look at a movie like this, it's not exactly positioning women to have a good relationship with men, or men have a good relationship with women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just seems like it has shown the slide of feminism, like I said in the opening, from let's empower women to let's just be like men, but then hate the men. And it really it causes more of a divide in our society as opposed to causing equality.
Exactly. And you know what I always like to think about it as? If you really understand women, you would realize that the way that feminism these days is pushing the agenda is actually not empowering to women. You know, making a woman think that she has to be more like a man to be kind of seen as enough and valuable in society is not empowering to a woman. You know, for me, I've been working with women on, you know, helping them with all of this kind of conditioning for years. And, you know, what actually makes a woman feel the most empowered and really in her femininity is actually being a woman and actually embracing what that means, not fighting against men, not thinking that she has to be Miss Independent and do it all on her own. So, I mean, look at the Barbie movie, for example. Even right towards the end, I was thinking, oh, maybe there's going to be some kind of equality and we'll get 50-50. No, the Barbies manipulated the Kens to then get their rights back in Barbie land. And even still then, the Barbies had 100% of the rights in Barbie land at the very end. And again, if it was an actual Barbie movie, no one would care. But the reality is that it completely swayed from the usual Barbie storyline, and it was so blatantly obvious what they were doing, and it was quite distasteful, in my opinion. So it was a real shame throughout the movie to just see so much kind of hate on men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that you know, they paint men as hating women and all that, but then you see this sort of thing. They're doing it. They're hating men in return, and they are exercising all these toxic traits, and then that they associate with toxic masculinity, and then they're telling women to be more like men. It's like they're trying to say there is no such thing as femininity anymore. You just have to be like a man, but, you know, hate men.
Exactly. And, you know, it's actually a massive problem, because one of the issues that a lot of women deal with these days is feeling devalued as a mother, which I'm sure you can agree with me, Joe, that being a mother, looking after children and helping to raise them, is probably one of the most important jobs in the world, right? And a lot of women feel, you know, if they're at home and they're not bringing in as much money as they used to, for example, and they're doing the laundry and cooking their meals, they're not bringing in as much value. And that's a real shame, because the reality is that's one of the most valuable jobs that we can do. And when you look at the Barbie movie, for example, the one character, the one quote-unquote Barbie, the one doll that was in this Barbie land that was not called Barbie was a mother. She was called Weird. She was, you know, it was said that she was meant to be discontinued. She was separated from the rest of the Barbies. She was standing behind a picket fence with her pregnant belly. And I'm like, oh my God, if that is not terrible conditioning for young girls, I don't know what is. And like I said, you know, adults can kind of blow it off and whatever and not make it mean anything, but a child is going to be watching that. She's not reading, or he's not reading through the lines. He's seeing it as exactly as it is. And as she's watching this movie, she's seeing that, oh, I'm left out if I am a mother. And I'm just like, oh my God, if that is not an issue, I don't know what is. You know, and that's just one of the issues in some of the scenes in the whole movie. I could go on forever about different issues and different scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it seems to be just a microcosm of every feminist tenet that you can put in there, including devaluing of motherhood, the one thing that supremely separates women from men.
I know. It's a real shame.
Hmm. So is there like any sort of counter programming that's going on that you're aware of? Like, how, if you go and see the movie and you get, like you said, catfished by it, like, what can you do as a parent? You just have to sit down and have a nice talk with your kid. Hey, sorry about that.
I mean, it's really hard, because at the end of the day, the marketing was so incredible that any young girls on social media are going to want to go see the Barbie movie, whether you say yes or no. You know, I think that at the end of the day, like, if a child grows up in a household where men are seen as a positive and you know, the masculine is seen as healthy and the feminine is seen as healthy, one movie in the whole grand scheme of things is probably not going to completely ruin their perception on being a woman and what it means to be a man. And so the key things for me as a parent is you really want to be careful about your language. You know, are your boys that are at home, if you've got a son, how are you parenting the son? Are you allowing the son to be a man, or are you emasculating your son? Are you parenting your son the same way that you parent your daughter? Because you actually need to parent them very separately. Are you telling your daughter, you know, boys only want one thing, you have to be careful, it's not safe to be a woman out there? It's those kind of things over time that make a woman feel unsafe to be a woman. And we often see that on the media of, you know, like, it's unsafe to be a woman, you know, men are dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, when you watch these kind of movies, or when you're told all the time that it's unsafe to be a woman, what do you, like, that's not empowering for women. So if we really want to empower,
Ms. Yates, because we are 3 seconds from running out of time, folks. This has been the Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.